With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Brighton Rock Podcast with me, Russell Guyver, sitting in the Caxton Arms, my favourite pub in Brighton, and I've got with me a special guest making her debut on the podcast, Camilla Meyer. And tell us, Camilla, who you are.
So, hi, Russell. Basically, I'm Alexis McAllister's girlfriend. I've been living here in Brighton for the last 2.5 years. I'm from Argentina, as he is. And yeah, like, I would say I'm doing a bit more than that. But
yeah,
I think that's the reason why I'm here, basically.
Brilliant, yeah. Well, I'm originally from Argentina. Whereabouts? Is it Buenos Aires or somewhere less obvious?
Yeah, well, I'm from Buenos Aires, from the city of Buenos Aires, so nothing really special.
That's right. So Alexis, from reading his Wikipedia, is from Santa Rosa, which is somewhere away from there, isn't it?
That's another province that is called La Pampa, but it's really close to Buenos Aires, and he was born there because he was born there. 24th of December, so his family is from there and they were all there celebrating Christmas. But then he lived all his life in Buenos Aires as well.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you if you were childhood sweethearts or if it was anything like that, but I'm guessing not then for the fact you're from a different area. But
but then he lived all his life in Buenos Aires.
Oh, okay, so,
But no, we met when we were around, I think, 15 years old. Like, we had lots of friends in common.
Yeah.
So we just used to hang out at the same places. And then we started dating when we were 18. So after we finished school, we just started dating from that. We started seeing each other,
Excellent, brilliant. That's good. In terms of... he signed for the album in 2019, and obviously this is the thing, if you're the girlfriend, you want to go over with him as well. It was all an interesting scenario because Brighton signed him. He then went back on loan to Argentinos Juniors and then also on to Boca as well, a massive club in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. And he was on loan there for a while, and then he came in, I think he was saying just off air, February of 2020 is when he actually arrived in Brighton.
Yeah, because he finished the season there in December, and then he went to the, I don't know if it's in English it's like this, but pre-Olympics? So they played in Colombia, and he went there with the under-23 team, and then he came here,
And that's a big thing, actually, in South America, isn't it, the Olympics? There's a lot more emphasis, I think, on that than there is here. But I know it's a big thing there, so, that was great. I mean, people will note from the dates that that's a rather significant time to come over, February 2020, just as the pandemic was starting to become more widely known and widely affecting of everybody. So a really crazy time to be coming over. And you were saying off air that you then joined him in May.
Yeah.
After, I presume, going through whatever sort of paperwork you needed to do to come over. And that seems like a really crazy time altogether coming over, both for him and for you at your various different moments, February and May.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
So he came in February and the pandemic wasn't like a big thing yet. And my plan was to come here for a few days to join him. And then I had a trip with my friends planned for, I think, April. Of course, that didn't happen, but I was able to come here first in, I think it was like first days of March. So as soon as I got back to Argentina, everything was shut down and he was here. And yeah, it was a bit crazy because my plan was to go on the trip with my friends and then come to Argentina and then like see what I was going to do, because at that moment I wasn't really sure if I should come here like forever or what. I was going to the university and I was working, so it was such a big thing for me. Everyone laughs at me because I was really unsure, and now I'm so happy to be here. So it's crazy. But yeah, then everything was just closed and I just said, okay, I should just go. And I came in May. It was really, really crazy times. I remember I was about to travel to come here and it was like, I am really going to arrive in the UK at some point or not. Because, you know, lots of people were just staying in the middle of their trips, just they couldn't go, like, travel to anywhere, they couldn't go back home, so it was really uncertain moment. I had to go from Buenos Aires with a stop in Chile to Miami, and then from Miami to the UK, so it was like 2 days literally traveling. So it was...
And then you've got all the restrictions on the way, you know, they've got the masks and you've got the...
Yeah, I think they weren't using masks here in the UK. I remember I arrived to the airport and I was like, oh my God, no one is using masks. And it was crazy because in Argentina they were very strict about that, and they weren't asking for any COVID tests or anything because it was just the first month. But it was really crazy.
I mean, it must be, I was going to ask you in a moment about the moving, coming over and getting used to England, but I mean, at the best of times, there's going to be a lot of upheaval, a lot of things to get used to. But having to do that with this whole pandemic and the lockdown as well, for Alexis playing football with nobody in the stadiums, and you know, all of the different surreal elements that are going on with football that wouldn't normally be going on, and then for you, obviously coming over as well, and then not being able to do the things you would normally want to do when you come over, and just discover some things, go out and about, see, you know, see what the area is like. You're allowed to go for walks and all the other stuff, but it's not the proper way, is it, really? So, I mean, how do you find it when you came over in general, though? Especially once you were able to get used to England a bit more. What do you think of Brighton? All the good things, any bad ones as well, you can be honest.
No, I really, really like it. I liked it since the first time I came, so that was really good. It was hard for both of us, of course, because like what you said, like the pandemic and everything. I do like it a lot here. I like how people are super like nice all the time. I find that really interesting, and that everything is so organized. I know that sometimes English people say, oh my God, this is so bad. But I come from a place that everything is more difficult than here. Okay. So I really respect how they can just, I don't know, just do things on the right way, and everyone respects everything. I really respect that. And I think it's not that I find bad things there here, but I do find things differently from what I used to. So, like, sometimes, something that I always say is, like, I would go for a coffee at 5 p.m., and here I go out at 5 p.m., and everything's closed. And that's
true.
Crazy
coffee shops close at that
time for
me. Yeah, that's true.
I know it's a silly thing, but I do like, for us, life doesn't end until, I don't know, 11 p.m. maybe, and... that's a really different thing, that it's just the time of the meals and those kind of things. The weather is completely different as well. Like,
I was just going to come on to the weather. I was going to ask that. It's lovely, isn't it? We're sitting here indoors, definitely, because it's November. But it's raining outside. It's classic Britain.
Yeah. and see how the days end at 4 or 5 p.m. at this moment. Yeah. That was really...
The opening hours, if you'd have come a few years beforehand, even worse, the opening hours for pubs, everything would close at 11. Even if everyone wanted to stay, they couldn't. Yeah. The licensing laws, they relaxed them, and now, depending on which license you apply for, you can go longer now. But it's funny how
everything has to be so early.
It feels like everything's better now, but actually, your point is a good one about coffee shops. Yeah, they'll tend to close at 5:30. It's kind of shop hours, pretty much, outside of London, for example, which I know you've been up to a few times and enjoyed a bit of time in London. London is different. You know, there's a really good cafe in Soho, for example, I go to, that's open till, I think, 2 a.m. And it's basically just serving coffees and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
So, but that's not like for here. A normal place, But Brighton, it's probably true, Things do shut down, and the shops, I think, as well, still close fairly early.
Quite early, So those kind of things, it's like you have to readjust your routine, like your day-to-day stuff. It's not something bad, of course, but then you are like, oh my God, I would just wish I could just go out at this time and just do something.
It probably is related to the weather, isn't it? The culture is different because of hot times of day.
I thought so, but then in summer it was the same. And I was like, oh my God, it's like sunlight until 10 p.m., but everything is just closed.
It's frustrating. You just want to have a drink or coffee or something.
I mean, you can have a drink, but only that.
I can see what you mean by the bad things. That's the bad things. That's not bad if that's the only really bad thing. So that's quite good. I mentioned the weather. What about steaks as well? Argentina's famous for its steaks. Have you found any good ones here? Is that another weaker point for us?
We found good places. That we like to go, but. Yeah, I prefer Argentinian food for sure. So sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
It's really good.
I've not been to Argentina yet. I would like to go, but a couple of friends of mine have been, and they've said the food is great.
It's good. It's really good. The steak and everything in general, I think it's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. So I think overall then, do you think it took... I suppose it's something you've been here for about 3 years, so it's something you're still doing. But in terms of settling, how settled do you feel? Because it's an ongoing process, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, it is. Hmm. Definitely. So I think I'm already, like, used to be here. Like, I think I am settled, but at the same time, as I said before, I think it's a process that never ends because all the time you find new things or, I mean... I met some friends here while studying English in 2020, and they are from other countries because they came here to study English in Brighton. So sometimes I would meet them here or in other places. We travel a lot together, and then it's like I know they go back to their houses, and it's like, you know, their language, their place and everything. And then I come back and it's like, it is my home, but at the same time, it's not my home from my heart, you know? Yeah. So I find that it's just something that it's all the time with us. But I do feel that with all the time I've been here, I just started to getting to know the place a bit more. I always put a lot of effort on trying to meet more people, do more things, because I realized that the first month I was alone for a long time, or maybe just not doing a lot, now I'm trying to do more stuff, to meet more people. And I think that really helps with settling because you feel more comfortable, you are more confident about doing more and more things, and that changes the game completely.
Yeah. So I know that nowadays, I think Brighton included, clubs try to do things around helping him settle in with all the practical details and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Whatever people want to do anyway. And then there's also the other side of it with other players and other players, girls, girlfriends or wives. Is there much kind of interaction there, or do you not really get much chance to meet up?
So now, yes, because we can meet them at the stadium.
Yeah.
But the first year or so,
you couldn't see anyone.
So I met some people anyways when it was possible to do something. Just maybe Alexis will do something with the boys, and then I will meet their girlfriends or wives. And I also met Alata, who is mother's girlfriend, because we used to live at the same building. Like, they moved after us, but they moved to the same building as we were living before. So that was so good for both of us, because we could just start chatting and, you know, spending time together, because for both of us was really, like, hard moment in the way of knowing the place and people. And now it's better because we can go to the stadium. I can see more people, more of the girls, and they are so nice, all of them. So that's so great. But before, I wouldn't know anyone. And, like, I look at it from now, and it's like, oh, my God, that's crazy. I would just spend a lot of time on my own, and that's hard, I think.
Yeah, because the players are going off to training fairly, I should imagine, depending where they live, quite early in the morning to get, what, for 9 o'clock, is it normally, or something like that? And then what sort of time did they come back if it came directly home? Would it be sort of 2, 3, something like that?
Yeah.
So
it
you've
depends.
Got that whole
It's a lot. And then when they go away to play, like, at some point the games were running, but the people weren't allowed at the stadium, so he will be gone maybe for the whole weekend. And oh my God, that was sad.
So I said it again. If you can do your own thing,
that's not so good. Bad. Yeah, I mean, but now I don't mind, but at that moment I was like, and I didn't. Now I have we have our dog, so that's another company for us.
Oh, great! What have you got? Which dog?
She's mixed breed, so she's a little bit of everything.
Oh, nice. That's all right.
So she also helps me to feel a bit, you know,
more homely. Part of the family.
Yeah, definitely. She's the best. But before, it was just me, so it was a bit hard.
Yeah, that is really difficult, isn't it? But,
it is.
You know, But thankfully, time's moved on.
Yeah.
COVID's calmed down a bit, and you know, the lockdowns certainly have, and it's a little easier now. And I mean, you are going to games quite a bit, because I've acquainted with you from having noticed you behind us at Wolves, and somebody looked online and went, we thought you were Cucurella's girlfriend. somebody said, oh, I think that's Cucurella's girlfriend. I don't know why they thought that. Anyway, we looked up and went, oh no, I think that's Alexis McAllister's girlfriend. And then you walked off, and then we saw you again at the Fulham game this season. Where you're on the end of the same row, and I thought, well, keep meeting like this, have a chat.
Of course.
So are you going to most of the games, all of the games, just some of the games?
If they are here in Brighton, all of them for sure. If they are away games, I try to go, but if I'm not with someone, I wouldn't go on my own, because I just don't feel like being just by myself. I think
they come with us. We'll
yeah,
along,
for sure.
Show you all the pubs, everything.
I think those two ones that I that we saw each other. It was I think Alexis that was here, so we went together.
Okay.
So that's great, and I really love going and watching all the games. But I wouldn't go just on my own.
Well, one of those games, the Wolves game, will be a very key moment, because, as you'll remember, he took two penalties, missed the first one.
I thought you realised it was me, because I was like, oh my God, please.
I didn't notice that at the time.
Like, I really suffer with the penalties, and then when he was going to take the other one, I was like, oh my God.
Well, we just looked at each other in my row, and we were just saying, fair play, he's got some balls to take another one, because if you miss two in a row in one game, there's probably not many people do that. I know there was an Argentinian player, I can't remember his name now. He actually missed three penalties in the same game for Argentina. No. I can't remember his name. I think it was called Palermo or something. Something like that. I can't remember. It was a few years ago. Don't worry if you don't know. But yes. Yeah, so, but apart from that, I can't think of anyone that's missed two penalties in the same
game.
But
when he took it, I mean, I was really nervous, but I thought, like, if he took it, it's because he knows he can do
he's
it.
Confident.
So, yeah. So it will be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought you just noticed me because of that.
No, I didn't actually spot what you were, your face when you were doing, looking at that moment. But no, that could be a key moment because now he's been taking penalties.
Yeah.
We haven't had many since then, but he's been taking them, which is
good.
It's good. More goals for him as well. More kudos.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Well, you mentioned about the penalties. How do you find it watching him in general? Do you get nervous, anxious, you know, worrying about injuries, worrying about if he'll do something crazily bad that the fans won't like?
I think it's like a general worrying thing because of everything. As I told you, I'm not a huge football fan, so I don't like really live it, you know, like other people do that go really, really nervous. So I'm more like nervous like about he doing well, if that makes sense.
Well, he definitely is doing well.
Yeah, that's really good.
I think there's two or three candidates for player of the season. He's definitely one of them, and that's in,
that's great.
There's some very good performances this season.
Yeah.
I think he has been my player of the season so far, I think. A couple of other people have caught him up, not because he's doing anything wrong, but just because they're playing really well as well now. But, he's a good bet for player of the season, so you can be proud of that anyway.
Of course.
Does it feel weird watching him play as well? No, you just know him as Alexis, not McAllister the footballer, it's Alexis the boyfriend. Does it feel a bit weird seeing him? Does it feel a bit surreal sometimes? To think here he is with 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people watching the game.
I think sometimes I would think that, like, oh my God, so many people are watching him. It's crazy. But it's not something that I think all the time because I'm already used to, like, him doing it. Because since I met him, he was playing. So it's just a normal thing for both of us now. And he also is, I don't know, super calm about everything, so he doesn't make it any difference or anything. It's just maybe if I would meet someone and, you know, if we will be all from the football
fraternity.
Like, oh my God, so who are you with? And I'm like, Alexis. And then I'm like, no, they don't know him from his name. They know him from his surname. So it's like, so maybe that, but then it's fine.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. Yeah. There was a commentary, I think it was after the Leicester game, where he scored it was a hat-trick as far as I'm concerned.
It should have been a hat-trick.
And there was a classic commentary from a guy with a really rough, smoky voice, Argentinian guy, I'm assuming. He was calling Magalite. Have you seen this video?
No.
It's online somewhere. It's brilliant. This guy goes crazy with excitement. I don't know who he's pointing. Maybe for Argentinian TV. I don't know. But yeah, there's something out there. I don't know if that's the normal pronunciation for his name.
I think,
because it's an Irish origin, isn't it?
We say it in our Spanish way.
So how do you say his name?
Magalister.
McAllister. That's right, yeah.
It's just that you do like the McAllister that we don't do, but I think it should be that, like, you say it.
Yeah,
because
it depends,
it's Irish,
really.
Or Scottish.
Do you go with the origin, or do you go with where you were born and brought up? I guess I think either's okay, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But it's good that it's easily to understand in here, because it's like a very British kind of name, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. And I think it's definitely not the same as that guy on the commentary. That was an exaggerated accent. I don't know what was going on there. It was crazy. So you mentioned about watching on the pitch. When things haven't gone well on the pitch, I can't say there's many occasions I can think of overall for him individually, but as say the team is not going well, or if he's had a bad game, what's it like? Can he put it out of his mind and kind of just focus on the next thing straight away? Or is he in, as I said, a stinking mood, which means a really foul, grumpy mood for 48 hours or something. What's he like?
He has been like through a really good process about that, because he used to be kind of grumpy.
Oh, really?
Before, yeah, like, but I think it was more in Argentina. Like, so I'm speaking about 3 years ago and before. So if they would lose, he would be like really grumpy. I think that's the word, like angry or just don't talk to me too much. But he was never like too much. He was quite fine. And then there was a hard period here when he didn't play. So I think that was the most challenging time for him, because it was really frustrating just not being able to do what he likes to do and what he came here for. So that moment was, I think, really challenging and like a big moment for him, because he really learned how to go through his emotions and, you know, just being more calm and like not get too angry. And now, of course, he isn't happy if they lose or if he doesn't do too well, but he's much better. I mean, he might maybe wouldn't want to go out or do too much, but he's completely fine. So I think he did a really, really good job on just, I think, growing up, you know. It's, I think it's part of it. And I always say that I really admire him, because he is super, I know I say calm, I said calm, I don't know how many times that I can't find any other word. But he doesn't get, you know, too anxious at anything. Yeah. He knows really how to control the emotions. Yeah. So I think that's a really good thing of his personality, because it's like, I mean, at that level, you have to be really aware of your mind and be really strong on that aspect. So I think he does really well in general.
Yeah, that's good. Excellent. Yeah, calm, nervous, relaxed.
Tranquil, you say that?
Like that. Yeah. I know, it's got Latin roots, that word, so I thought you know that one.
Yeah. No, we say tranquilo. Tranquilo, so it's really similar.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, tranquilo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. I mean, maybe the grumpiness before, could that be maybe Irish roots, maybe a fiery Irish temper?
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. But speaking of the family roots, I think his father played for Argentina as well, was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a footballing heritage as well. It's great.
It's crazy. And his brothers also play.
Yeah.
He has two brothers which also play football. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So does he get to see them much? Probably difficult, I guess.
Yeah, it's difficult. His father was able to come a couple of times here, so that's good, because they can't spend time together. His brothers came last year by Christmas time. So that was really great. It was really fun. His mom was here as well, and a friend of him too, and the girlfriend of one of his brothers. So it was like a big thing. Brilliant. We were all together. It was super nice. Unfortunately, this year it's all crazy because of the World Cup. But anytime that they can just be together, they do, and they keep in touch all the time, so it's really nice.
Yeah, oh, that's good. So if they ever come over and they're at a game, do they look quite similar, his brothers? Do they look the same as him? Will I recognise him in the crowd?
No, I don't think so.
Only if they're with you. They're all standing together, yeah.
Like, they look like, but yeah, not a lot, maybe.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe we'll talk about World Cup and a couple of other bits in part two. We'll take a quick break there, Camila, and we'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
Okay, and we're back with part two with Camila. Alexis's girlfriend, but you're... in your own right, you've been doing your own things as well. Tell us a bit about what you're kind of hoping to do.
So after finishing my studies, I graduated from business administration in Argentina. That's another thing that I did through the pandemic, but that did help me.
Yeah.
No, it was good because I was able to do everything online while being here, which was really helpful because if not, I wouldn't be able to just move and continue with my career. So that was great.
Yeah.
It's crazy to say that, but it was good at some reason. So I did finish that this year, and I'm all now doing a little bit of fashion styling and trying to share a bit more on my social media because I just realized that I love sharing stuff with other people and everything related to that, and I really love fashion as well, so I started doing a few styling courses here, one in London. So yeah, that's really fun. I'm just starting and trying to go that way.
Wow, I can imagine in the future people wearing Camilla Lyon outfits. Yeah, could be a thing. Yeah, who knows? From small acorns, these big things grow, you know, they say.
Yeah.
You never know. That's good. So you're quite active on social media. You've got those interests. What other kind of cultural things have you found you like? I mean, are you into music, cinema? What kind of stuff do you do with your time? You don't have to tell us which restaurants you go to because you get stalked by Brighton fans. Oh, there's elections there. but what kind of stuff are you into? All sorts in that regard?
As I said, I love going for a coffee or for a walk or something like that.
If you can find somewhere open.
Now I know that I have to go early.
Yeah.
And I love like meeting up with my friends here. I also go to the gym quite... Yeah. Not a lot, but every week, three times. So then it's a bit hard for us to like do things like music or cinema because of the language, basically. I went twice to the cinema here. The first one, I think I could like follow it, but I couldn't really understand everything. So it was quite a challenge. I don't know, maybe we could just do a bit more of those things, but at the same time, it's hard because it's just different for
that's
us.
True.
I just love hanging out anywhere,
That's it. Are you into music? Are there good Argentinian music, musicians, bands? Do you like anything like that?
Yeah, I think I listen more Latin music than English music.
Yeah.
But I do like everything. I always say when I go out with my friends here that nowhere plays reggaeton. That is what we listen in there. Like when we go out or so, we are with friends or something like that.
Party music.
Yeah. So I'm always like, I just wish they played reggaeton. And they don't. And I'm like,
it's funny, when I went to Cuba, there was a guy doing a guided tour for us. And they were playing reggaeton in the bar somewhere. And he was going, I hate this stuff. It's not traditional, blah, blah, blah. He was very old school. He wasn't that old, but he was he didn't like the new stuff coming through.
Yeah.
I was just smiling, thinking he'd be cringing if he heard you say that. But it's all good fun music, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really fun, I think.
And the final thing on the culture in Brighton and all the other stuff. Have you found anywhere really interesting? Anything unusual? People you found or... venues or things that have really stood out as something funny or unusual? You don't have to have an answer for that, but is there anything in particular?
I don't know, like what could be?
I don't know, just some sort of really quirky restaurant or some really strange characters or anything like that you've come across.
I think what I found that is really good is that everyone just does their thing. You know, everyone looks completely different and everyone is just doing what they want and nobody cares. And I do love that. I think that's so good. I think in other places it's like everyone looks like the same, basically. Like every girl from my age will look quite like me, and every man at your age will look like, you know. And here I just find that every person is so unique. And I really like that. I think that's something that
stood out
a bit on me, because I think it should be like that everywhere. Yeah, it's so great.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad you noticed that, because Brighton is very, pretty much unique in that regard.
It is,
People really do just dress how they want. And
yeah.
There's a fun, flamboyant, bohemian sort of culture, they call it. Just everyone does their own thing.
And nobody is looking like weird or bad.
Exactly.
So that's really good.
Yeah, so it's all good. Just going to mention as well, we mentioned just at the end of part one, I'd say something about the World Cup. I know you're not a massive football fan, so you can't go into details about Argentina, how you think they'll do, other than I'm sure you're wishing and hoping they'll win. Maybe, I don't know, some midfielder may score a winning goal in the World Cup final. Who knows? If there's a penalty, for example. Well, I think Messi might grabbing the ball there, aren't he? But you never know. You never know. He could become one of the stories of the World Cup. You never know. Obviously at this stage, as we're talking, we don't know for sure what the squads will be, but there's got to be a good chance he'll be going. So if he is called up, do you think he'll be going over as well?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
It's going to be an interesting...
I think it's a big thing.
Yeah.
I would like to miss it.
Yeah. It's I think it's a controversial location. There's been a lot said about it, and we won't go into details on that here. I'm going to be ranting about that on later podcasts. But obviously, as people representing the country, you go over, it's just a different thing. But do you think there's going to be a lot of controversy with this World Cup because of what's happened before?
I don't know. I just hope it goes all smoothly. I just really hope it, because if not, I mean, it's just a big thing and a nice thing.
Yeah.
I just hope there is no bad stuff going on. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just really hope that.
And as far as Argentina goes... again, I know you're not going to go into detail on football because you said, I won't know that much about it, but what's it like in Argentina when there's a tournament on? Is everyone going crazy?
Yeah.
I thought so.
For sure, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a big thing, football in Argentina. And you should go to a game in Argentina.
Yeah. I've got several friends that have been to Boca Juniors, and they said it was utterly insane. One of them, my friend from Worthing, actually, he was travelling around Argentina for 6 months because he got made redundant. He had a lot of money spare, which is really lucky timing. And he met some Argentinians when he was on another journey somewhere, and they invited him over. So he went all over the place, I think, in Argentina. And one of them took him to the Boca, and he was in the home end, the really raucous bit.
Yeah.
And he was about to get his camera out, and this guy's going, nope, you're not getting that out. If they realise you're English, that would probably be that. Yeah. It does seem like they're absolutely crazy fans.
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's really nice because like people really live it. At the same time, sometimes it's a little bit risky, so you have to be careful because of all the craziness and everything. But it's really crazy, and everyone is so excited about the World Cup now. Like everyone is just so looking forward to it, especially because the team is doing so well. And of course, everyone is completely in love with Messi.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk it might be his last World Cup.
Yeah,
I guess given his age, probably certainly to be effective, it might be his last chance.
Yeah,
so it could be a big tournament. They're definitely one of the teams that can win it. I'm not so convinced about England now, but who knows? We never win anything. I think. Well, the women did well last year, but anyway, I think Argentina are one of the options, one of the possibilities.
Yeah.
So you could be over there, you could be celebrating over there for the final, who knows.
Let's see.
Meantime, when Alexis does come back from the World Cup, assuming he is going, he's going to be coming back to Brighton, where he signed a new contract, hasn't he, recently? How do you feel about that? Happy with that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He's here till, the contract is until 2025,
Five.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's great, because that settles his future in terms of, security and everything else, but also hopefully it's a sign that he might stay for a long time. Do you think he might? What do you think? I won't commit you to, Camilla said, but no, I mean, do you think he's happy, he's settled?
He's happy, that's all you can say. He really settled in here, so that's really great.
Great. That's good to hear. I think that's kind of pretty much all I was going to ask you, or that I needed to ask you. Have you got anything else you wanted to say about, I don't know, about Brighton, about the football club? Fans, anything like that? Can we? I suppose not too much more, really. I think to say on that, is there? I don't think.
No, I'm just like really happy overall. Yeah. Everything and the people are always nice, like the fans.
Yeah.
I always love watching the kids after the games, you know, when they are waiting for the players to just say hi or sign their shirts. I think that's so cute.
And you always have lots of people, don't you, waiting as the players come out?
Yeah, yeah. I'm always there, like, behind Alexis, like, just don't doing anything, but it's really nice to watch
them. Yeah,
just
sit back and stand back and watch and see how they interact. Oh, that's good. Excellent. Well, Camilla, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for joining me here for a drink and for this chat. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure. You're the first wife or girlfriend that's been on this podcast, or any that I can think of, to be honest. So, yeah, you might be a first there. That's great. Thanks for joining me. And traditionally, to sign off on the podcast, normally what we say, I say stand up or fall. And then Peter, if he's here, says up the Albion. So could you do up the Albion for me after I do stand up or fall?
Yes, of course. And thanks for having me as well.
It's been a pleasure. So, stand or fall, Camilla?
Up the Albion.
Yay!
I wasn't sure.
That's great. Sports Social Podcast Network.